Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We are at the midpoint of our final week together in the book of Genesis chapter 14. It has taken us a while to move through these 24 verses, and that is because we are looking at each one closely and carefully. It is my sincere prayer that you now understand what this, I think, profound chapter means. I have certainly been working diligently to make it clear to you, and I'm grateful for the time you have set aside so we can meet together in our ongoing quest to know who God is. Last time we read about this proposal the king of Sodom made to Abram, and we saw how Abram received and rejected it. The king of Sodom makes a proposal, and he's right to do so. But Abram rejects the proposal with reason and with an exception. That has been our main point. Genesis 14, verse 21, the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." That's the proposal. That made sense in keeping with the customs of that day. Genesis 14, verses 22, 23, and 24a, Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing." Abram rejects the proposal with reason. The reason being, if Abram takes the goods, then the king of Sodom can say, "I have made Abram rich." He puts Abram in his debt. Our main point speaks of an exception. What is that? Genesis 14, the second part of verse 24, "Except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." I want to comment on this exception, but not yet. For now, I want to circle back to the reason Abram gives for rejecting the king of Sodom's offer. Abram reasons that if I take these goods, then you can say, "I have made Abram rich." And Abram only wants it to be said that God has made Abram rich. Abram desires that God gets the credit for the victory over the kings of the northeast. Abram resists what we could consider a bribe. I find it both fascinating and instructive to read of the caution with which Abram treats this king. Again, I see here a discerning Abram. He must have assessed that there was something nefarious about this ruler from a very evil territory called Sodom. And the man of God wants no part of him. Again, we can learn from Abram. We do not want to give people an opportunity to say something about us as Christians that is not true. "Oh, you have that because of me." When in reality, we have what we have because of God. Abram guards the credit for God against the credit going to the king of Sodom. We must do likewise. Learning from Abram, let me be more specific. We must defiantly guard against anything that makes us look like we are doing God's ministry for money. We must wholeheartedly reject anything that makes us look mercenary. Mercenary, to be primarily concerned with making money at the expense of ethics. Abram did not go to war. He did not attack the kings of the northeast for money. That is not why he did it. Think back to earlier in Genesis 14. Abram sets out with his 318 trained men, and they attack by night. Why? To rescue his nephew Lot. As a refresher, let me read Genesis 14, verses 14 and 15. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them. Lot is the issue, not the goods of Sodom. But if Abram accepts the king of Sodom's proposal down here in Genesis 14, verse 21, then suddenly money, the goods represent financial gain, money becomes the issue. Let me apply this to individuals, not within your profession, but rather within mine. Unless, of course, you also preach the gospel and teach God's word on radio and the internet. Let me tell you something you likely already know, even if you sometimes do not want to admit it. There are a lot of Christian evangelists, pastors, teachers, authors, and speakers who are mercenary. They are concerned with making money, and to the trash goes the ethics. Look, I do not like talking about this because this unveils to any unbelievers listening a sin that we, as the people of God, specifically spiritual leaders, need to repent of. But at the same time, I do want to address this so that you do not become complicit in the mercenary activities of those on the radio, the TV, and online who are after your financial resources. And here on God Is, I never ever ask you for any money, so I feel I have the freedom to say this. However, let me be clear. I am not saying that when a ministry asks you to make a donation, that is sinful and wrong. Not at all. How else can ministries pay the bills? Your generous giving is essential to expand the kingdom of God. I hope you give to support the men and women who teach you the word of God. I personally support, out of the resources God has given me, multiple ministries. My only concern is that we be discerning, there's that word again, about supporting the right ministers and ministries, those who are not in it for the money. Sadly, there are a lot of charlatans out there. I urge you to make sure you do not give to them. There was a time in my life as a young man when I was duped. The ministry was PTL, short for Praise Thee Lord, led by the outgoing and charismatic husband and wife team of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. Some of you might remember them. This was the late 70s and the early to mid-1980s in America. They had a television ministry based in North Carolina on the campus of what was to become a large Christian theme park called Heritage USA. And the Bakers would come on our little television set all the way up there in Boston, Massachusetts. The Bakers would be on there day after day and week after week, always raising money, we thought, for their compelling ministry that had such great results. And as a boy, just a child, I would watch, and one day I said to my mom, I want to give. So I distinctly remember going to get my allowance, and I gave it to my mother, and she converted that into a check. I attached a note saying how much I loved the Lord and His work and wanted to give this money to support PTL. Off that letter and check went in the mail, and sure enough, a few weeks later, I received a thank you and a request to send more money urgently. Well, by 1987, Jim Baker had resigned the ministry, taking down Tammy Faye with him. The ministry ended up bankrupt, the theme park closed and eventually was destroyed, and Jim Baker went to prison on multiple counts of fraud. You should have seen how much money of those donative dollars went to fund his lifestyle. Ugh. All of the money raised from innocent Christians wanting to help from all across America and even around the world, all of that gone. We were bamboozled. This all came rushing back to my memory when I read an insightful book with the title PTL, The Rise and Fall of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's Evangelical Empire by John Wigger. And then there is the recent film, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, which has again splashed this scandal across the media. The woman who plays Tammy Faye in the film, and she did an incredible job, won an Oscar award for her performance. I'm telling you this as an example, and tragically just one example, of how careful you need to be about giving your money to certain ministries. Alarmingly, Jim Baker, in his 80s, is back on TV with The Daily Show, still raising hundreds of thousands of dollars. When will this end? This makes my heart hurt, not only because of the negative effect this has on Christians who give, but primarily because of the way this destroys the testimony of our Lord. When believers share the gospel with our loved ones, friends, and colleagues who've yet to believe in Jesus and who are skeptical. If only today's ministers, pastors, authors, educators, and speakers would follow Abram's example and stridently resist any connotation, any suggestion that we're just in it for the money. I do want to be careful not to paint every ministry with this brush. Please do not misunderstand me. But I do want to warn you away from those that would gladly have accepted the goods of Sodom had they been in Abram's sandals. And I am grateful for Abram's godly example to me. I am not in this for the money. I am in this so that you will know who God is, and so that you will love, worship, and obey Him. To God be the glory. Join us daily because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.